I'm Leslie.
And I'm Tamara.
And welcome to The Crimes You're Into, Episode 3, Part 1.
Did you already say what it was?
No.
So, okay. Okay.
So, you don't know if this is like...
I know. That's why I'm asking.
You don't know if we're talking about death.
Exactly.
Either way, it's still bad, but...
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
But this one is a death one.
Okay.
Slightly kind of like a serial killer.
Oh, great.
I mean, he only killed 2 people that we know of.
We know them?
No, not like we, just...
Oh, big we.
A big we.
Okay.
We as in South Carolinians.
Still don't feel safe. Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
So I'm going to tell you about the murder of Sherry Faye Smith. But she goes by Sherry. I jacked that all up. We're going to talk about the murder of Sherrod Faye Smith.
So Sherry's not the murderer, she's a murderee.
The murderee.
Is that a thing?
It's going to be a thing. And so Sharon goes by Sherry, and that's what we going to call her. Hence why I called her Sherry the first time. Sherry was a 17-year-old girl who lived in Lexington, South Carolina.
That is too close for comfort.
I was about to say, is that like, oh God, it's getting closer. So Sherry was the middle child. She had an older sister named Dawn, who plays a huge role in this case. And then she had a younger brother named Robert Jr. So Sherry had tons of exciting things coming up. She was graduating with honors, so get a girl.
She was not me, not even close.
And then she was going to sing the national anthem at her graduation with another classmate. Couldn't do it. And then she was going on a cruise to the Bahamas with her friends for her senior trip. So all of this starts happening on May 31st, 1985. Sherry was out with her boyfriend Richard and a few other classmates. They were at Lake Murray celebrating their upcoming graduation, which was just 2 days away. So Sherry calls her parents at 2:30, letting them know she was headed home from the lake. And then around 3:38, she stops at the mailbox to check the mail. After a few minutes, her dad's like, "Where's Sherry? Sherry hasn't came inside." So, he looks out the window and notices that her car's still down at the mailbox. A few minutes later, he heads to the mailbox. And when he gets down there, he notices the car's still running. But Sherry's nowhere in sight. So, he looks in her car. And then, he, starts getting worried because, the car's running. Like I said, the door's open. There's a few footprints. Mel's on the hood of the car,
that's weird.
Kind of just, uneasy, I guess, parent intuition feeling going on. Well, when he looks in the car again, he notices her medicine's in the car. So, Sherry had a rare type of diabetes to where she had to drink tons of water and take insulin. And if she didn't take insulin and drink water constantly, she would get very disoriented. So at first her dad's maybe she's in the tree line peeing, because apparently, she drinks a lot of water, she's gotta pee all the time. So
I wouldn't think that, because I'd be like, why don't you just drive to the house?
Well, I think that was a common thing that would happen with her.
Oh.
So he yells for nothing. So, at this point, he's like, yes, something's wrong. So, he calls 911 immediately. Well, cops arrive at her house within 42 minutes, which I feel like is super fast.
That's a long time.
You feel like that's a long time? From when you know your child's missing to, the cops being there interviewing, them driving
okay,
in?
Okay, yes, that's fast. But at the same point, you're 42 minutes and you're waiting, where's the cops? Where's the cops? Shouldn't they be there within, 5 minutes?
Yeah, I mean, true.
True. I mean, there's a crime going on.
Because I feel like whenever my keys were stole to the Jeep, it took at least 35 minutes for the cops to get there.
But if you're saying there's a missing person, something's wrong, you're giving that person 45 minutes to get away with it.
That is true. See, I was thinking, like, dang, that was quick from, like, you know your child's missing to cops being there. You know, because, like, normally it's, like, a 24-hour period or 3 hours later.
Or a couple of days. Yes, I get that. But the fact that you called and you're like, 911, I need you now. Something's wrong with my daughter. And they're like, okay, be there in 45 minutes. I'm like, uh-uh. No. Now. Get here now.
I got you. And I understand you much better now because I was just like, what? You think 42 minutes is forever? I understand. So Sheriff Metz gets there. Well, Sheriff James Metz, we're going to call him.
Smits.
Huh?
I don't know.
Metz, M-E-T-S.
Oh, I thought you said Smits.
No.
We're going to call him Smits, and that's not his name.
Well, he arrives on the scene, and like I said, you know, he noticed the mail. He noticed the footprints and the car. He's just like, yeah, she's been kidnapped. Like, he knows. Like, he's a cop. He knows these things. He knew instantly, like, girl's gone missing. So, hundreds of people, like, hundreds of people came out. They searched land, water, by air, like, everywhere in hopes to find Sherry. And I feel like, I mean, this was a few years before I was born. Not saying, like, I'm ancient or anything.
You're just a little ancient.
just a smidge old. But I guess back then, ransom calls were more of a thing. Because I don't really feel like ransom calls, if a kid gets kidnapped now, when you get an Amber Alert, unless they're not telling the public, I don't hear of many ransom calls.
Right.
So, the cops at this point were expecting a ransom call. Well, on Saturday, like, she went missing on Friday. On Saturday, they get a call.
Okay.
The caller faked a ransom just to try to get money.
Okay, so they called the parents
the day after she went missing and tried to get money.
How did they get their
parents? I guess the money? Oh, they already, like, released the number she's missing.
Well, either that or phone books were a bigger thing then.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would have been pissed if somebody called me, like, faking, trying to get money just to...
Oh, wait, so this isn't the...
No!
The person that kidnapped.
No!
It was like...
It was just a random person, like, hey, I got your kid. Now, where's my money? But they didn't have her kid.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did they get arrested?
I don't know. It never said. It didn't even say who. I don't know if they know who called. But yeah, like, somebody faked... pretending they kidnapped.
Oh no!
Their daughter.
They should get arrested.
Yeah.
Where they at? They need to get arrested today.
I was like, they need to be hung by their toes and beat. Because that's just wrong.
That's messed up.
So, on Monday, June 3rd at 2:30 a.m., the phone rings again. But this time, it really was the kidnapper.
But see, by the time you had the fake one, you don't believe it the second time.
Well, they did. Because a muffled man's voice starts apologizing. And he's like, I'm sorry I took your daughter. He gave details about what she was wearing. He said she was wearing white shorts, a yellow tank top, black and yellow polka dot bikini. And at this point, like, her mother knew. Like, that's what my child was wearing. Like, he knows too much that we didn't release. So, Hilda, Sherry's mom, was telling the kidnapper, hey, she has a medical condition. She needs to drink tons of water. Like, she will be sick if you're not taking care of her. So, he responds back saying, yeah, she's drinking 2 gallons of water every day. And he tells her mom, he's like, you will receive a letter from Sherry. At the top of the letter, it's going to be timestamped June 1st, 1985, 3:10 a.m. He said, well, it's really 3:12. But I had her write 3:10. So, I just want to let you know, the cops are looking at all the wrong spots. And hangs
what?
Up. Yeah. Yeah, like, I got chills.
Me
like,
too.
Yeah. Oh, just wait, it gets worse.
So what, they blocked the number so they couldn't trace it?
No, the cops didn't have it set up to where they was tracing the calls.
Dumb.
Yeah. So, the cops, like, just took off, and they went to the post office, and they started searching for this letter. At 7 a.m., they found the letter. They had SLED run it for DNA, fingerprints, like, the works. Like, anything you can have done on it, do it. But, like, back then, like, it takes forever. Like, you know, this was, I think, what did I say, 1980?
It was stamped, 1985.
Oh. I was like, how do you remember that? I don't remember. Love. Ding dong of the day. Nowadays, like, I feel like it would be a little bit quicker to get results back. But back then, they said it took weeks.
God.
Weeks.
I guess because everything's computerized now.
Yeah. The SLED agents, they gave the parents a copy of the letter because they were like, yeah, this kidnapper's going to call back. And if they don't know what the letter said, the kidnapper's going to know, you know?
Yeah.
So they wanted the most, like, genuine reaction from the parents and the kidnapper to just, I guess, kind of, like, figure out
where,
what, who, like, all the questions. I'm just going to forewarn you, it gives me chills. It gave me chills when I heard somebody else read this on a podcast. And I'm going to have the picture of the letter, like, on our Facebook page. But, yeah, I'm trying to pull myself together to read this. But in Sherry's handwritings, at the top of the letter, it said, last will and testament.
What?
Last will and testament.
Will?
Yeah. Her last will and testament.
Oh my god.
Like, she knew. So, let me get together. You ready for this letter? I love you, Mommy, Daddy, Robert, Don, and Richard, and everyone else, and all other friends and relatives. I will be with my father now, so please do not worry. Just remember my witty personality and the great special times that we shared together. Please do not let this ruin your life. Just keep living one day at a time for Jesus, and some good will come of this. My thoughts will always be with you and in you. Closed casket. I love you all so damn much. Sorry, Dad. I had a cuss for once. Jesus, forgive me. Richard, sweetie, I really did and always will love you and treasure the special moments. I do ask one thing, though. Accept Jesus as your personal savior. My family has been the greatest influence on my life. Sorry about the cruise money. Someday go in my place. I am sorry if I ever disappointed you in any way. I always wanted to make you proud because I've always been proud of my family. Mom, Dad, Robert, Don, there's so much I should have said before now. I love you. I know you love me and you will miss me very much, but if you stick together like we always did, y'all can do it. Please do not become hard or upset. Everything works for the good for those who love the Lord. With all of my love, always, I love you with all of my heart. Shared, Sherry Smith.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, I have goosebumps and, like...
That's crazy. Oh, I mean, it's even surprising to me that they would even can let her write a letter.
I think it's just to, like, mess with them more. But could you imagine being 17?
No.
Writing that to your parents?
No. I mean, I would try to, like, code word sneak who it is, come find me.
But
I know they'd watching and looking and making sure.
So, I mean, like, and then could you imagine? Like, I couldn't imagine if Bray wrote this to me.
No. No.
I would have lost it being her parents. But at 8 p.m. that night, they received another call from the kidnapper. And this was the first call that SLED was able to record. And I'll play a clip of that in a second. It just amazes me how cool and collective this family stayed on the phone. Because there's no way. You know how I get.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Well, you also got to be smart because if you go off, I mean, that's your child.
Yeah, that is true. But this man gets on the phone and he says, "Did you get my letter? Do you believe me now?" Hilda says, "Yes, I have." Then goes on and says, "Well, I'm not really sure if I believe you because I haven't heard any word from Sherry. I need to know Sherry's well." He responded, "You will know in 2 or 3 days." Her mom said, "Why 2 or 3 days?" The guy says, "Call off the search And I will tell you more. Sherry is now part of me physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Our souls are now one. And then hangs up. So I'm going to play that clip now.
Yes, I have.
Do you believe me now?
Well, I'm not really sure I believe you because I haven't had any words from Sherry. And I need to know that Sherry is well.
You don't know.
So that sounds like they got married or something.
See, at first I thought he ate her.
Oh my gosh.
Well, when he's like,
you know, she's a part of me.
Physically, mentally. But I'm thinking he might have raped her.
Well, that was my first guess. But then when he said we became one, well, see, that's what they say. When you get married and, you know.
Well, see, that's why I'm like, he ate her.
Well, they always say when you get married, the two become one.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, do you know what happened? Or what he meant? As you'll get to it?
No.
You don't know?
No. No. Because, yeah, they're, no. I don't know. No.
Okay. So, continue.
Yeah. Once Sled was able to trace this call, which took 20 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. 20 minutes. The payphone
far out.
Like, I guess, like, out of town, possibly, like, Columbia areas where he was calling from. No kidnapper, no fingerprints, nothing. But the phone was just dangling. Just kind of like. So, on June 4th, he calls and talks to Dawn, the sister. He tells Dawn he stopped his car when she got out to get the mail. He took some pictures, then forced her at gunpoint. And he said that he was sorry. Things got out of control. And at 3:10 on June 1st, when Sherry wrote the letter, and then at 4:58, they became one. He told her to write this down, and then you could hear Hilda in the background saying, "What does he mean?" He replies back, "No questions now." And then he tells them to tell Sheriff Metz to call off the search, that blessings are near. And then you hear Hilda begging in the back, "Please do not kill my daughter." Then he goes on to tell them that he will return Sherry tomorrow, have ambulances ready. And then I'm going to play that clip right now. Heartbreaking.
God, I mean, I know she was upset and mad, but I feel like I'd been a whole lot way worse than that.
Breaking. So, on June 5th, the phone rings again. And this time he gives Hilda directions to a spot 18 miles out of town in Saluda County. And he ends the call saying, "We're waiting. God chose us." And I'm going to play that clip now.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I'd be like, "Slow down. Let me get a pen and paper."
So when cops got that, they like took off, and exactly where he said they found Sherry's body.
Oh my gosh.
Her conditions was so bad, they couldn't tell how she died.
What?
Like, they couldn't tell if she was suffocated, if she was raped, if she died because of her diabetes. Like, they had no clue. No clue.
Not even, like, autopsy could find out?
Mm-mm. And he only had her 6 days.
Holy cow.
So, she was wearing the exact same clothes that she was last seen in. The only thing is she was missing her bathing suit top, and then an earring was missing. Other than that, like, she was fully clothed. So, Sled was thinking at this time when he said 4:58, our souls became one, is when she died.
Okay.
So, but we don't know for sure. This is just what they are thinking. Yeah, that's what they are going off of. At 4:51, when our souls became one, he possibly killed her. So, like, I'm just lost for words. Yeah, like, I can't imagine somebody having somebody's body for just 6 days. And them not really mutilating them, like cutting them up, but she was so badly decomposing that, like, she wasn't. Like, she was recognizable, but I don't think, like, they couldn't tell how she died, yeah. I guess. Like, she was, you know, they're like, okay, well, there's no gunshot wounds, there's no this, but, like, we don't know if she was smothered. We don't know if she, you know, like, they don't know.
Wow.
So, at this time, like, FBI was putting together a profile. They're like, we got to find this kidnapper. We got to do all the things.
Other than messing with her, it blows my mind that he called and he gave her back.
Uh-huh. Like, he was toying with him. Like, he was just like, nee, 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 nee.
That's insane.
Yeah. Okay, so do you want to hear the profile that they put together?
Okay.
Like, when I watch Criminal Minds, like that's my favorite part because they're, like, figuring out the person. Okay. If you was described as a fleshy individual.
What?
Your face.
Was it fleshy?
They referred to him as a fleshy male. Do you know what fleshy male means?
No.
It means overweight.
Do I look fleshy?
But I was just like, fleshy? Fleshy? Fleshy male? Was he zombie-like? Like,
that's what I'm thinking. Like, is he ashy?
But yeah, so they said he was intelligent. He was overweight.
Fleshy man.
Unattractive. White male in his late 20s to 30s. Lived in the area. Possibly shy, but very polite. Had an OCD tendency. He was possibly married in an earlier life, but maybe already divorced. If not, he probably lived with his parents. He would be good with electronics because he was able to alter his voice. Because, you know, back then they didn't have the apps.
Yeah.
And he would have a criminal history.
Maybe.
This is not his first rodeo. They assumed he was returning to the site. Because, and this makes me sick to my stomach, they're like, seeing her, seeing the sight, seeing all this stuff was giving him a sexual gratification. Ooh. Yeah. Ugh. But once her body got so decomposed or to a certain spot that he was just like, this isn't sexy for me, that's when he called her parents and was like, here's where she is. Yeah. So, this is where I'm going to leave part one.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. So, next week, we will start up on part two of Sherry Faye Smith. But do you have a ding-dong of the week?
I got a ding-dong of the week. And actually, this one is a South Carolina.
South Carolina ding-dong.
South Carolina ding-dong. Actually, in Spartanburg, South Carolina.
We're just getting closer and closer and closer.
I mean, that's just right down the road from Lexington. So, this one says, South Carolina man has been sentenced to 50 years in prison for the execution style of slaying of his ex-girlfriend's new boyfriend.
To what?
what? So, homegirl done broke up with a boyfriend, got another boyfriend, and the ex-boyfriend killed the new boyfriend.
It was like, oh no, I want her back. You go. Goodbye.
Yeah. Well, he's in jail for 50 years and...
Ding dong for sure.
Follow us on our Facebook page at TCWI Podcast or hit us up on our Gmail at TheCrimesAreInto or donate to our Patreon at TheCrimesAreInto Podcast. Also, leave a review and we'll give you a shout out during next week's episode.